Welcome to the Bits and Boehmer stage. We're continuing our program with the next talk by Petru Zilius and Philip, who are explaining to us what the Searchwing project is and what it is doing for civil emergency operations with drones. Welcome. Enjoy the talk.
Yeah, hi and welcome. My name is Philip, and who are you?
Petru Zilius.
And we are part of the Searchwing team, and we build drones, UAVs, unmanned aerial vehicles for search and rescue. It's really nice to see you all here, the great interest in our work, and we are really happy to present our work here. Thanks to all the people who made this talk possible, to the whole Bits and Boehmer village. So, short overview about our talk. So we will talk a little bit about motivation, why we do it, why it's important to do it. Then we will show you in detail our drone, how it works, how it looks like. I mean, you can see it over here already, but we will also present some pictures. We talk a little bit about our organization. We have an association now. Then we will talk about the past and the present and maybe a little bit about the future. And then we also go into detail about the image processing, which we do, and future work stuff we want to do in the future. So what motivates us? More and more people are fleeing, are on the move for several reasons. One reason is war and terror, poverty, climate change. There are a lot of reasons why people flee, and some people flee over the ocean because they have no other way to get to safety. And here you can see a map and some numbers about people on the move. What's important to see here is that a lot of people die, so there are very dangerous routes for people, so it's our responsibility to help these people. And what you can see here too is that there are multiple routes. Even through the Mediterranean Sea, there are multiple routes which people take. For example, there's a route via Libya, which is a big war zone. Then there's a route via Tunisia. But then you also see on the left, there's a route via the Meerenge von Gibraltar. But also people come to Greece. And what you don't see here at the moment is, for example, the English Channel, or the Atlantic route, where people go to the Canary Islands, for example, from Senegal. It's very dangerous, and we should support these people. What we see at the moment that almost all states withdraw from the sea. They leave it to a civil fleet to support people on the move. And here you can see a few organizations which we are actually working with. They have very different vessels. Here on the left, it's an old picture. Actually, now the ship is run by SOS Humanity, but before Sea-Watch had the Sea-Watch Fear. Then you can see the Alan Kurdi, the ship of Sea Eyes, also not a present situation, right? So this is not the ship is now owned by somebody else. But there's also rescue ship, a small sailing boat, which operates right now in front of Lampedusa. So what we want to do, support a lot of NGOs in different situations with our system. And this then has some implications for our work. Of course, there's the government or multiple governments doing work in the Mediterranean too. But what they mostly do, they fund corrupt and yeah, bad people, which you can see on the left is the so-called Libyan Coast Guard. They get, for example, infrastructure, for example, vessels. And then on the right, you see that Frontex, EU border agency, more or less, they operate drones in the Mediterranean Sea or above the sea. There you can see some tracks of these drones, but the image data is actually not public, so they only use it to inform, for example, the Libyan Coast Guard about cases, and then they start to do pullbacks, so they bring people back in the war zone and not to a safe place where they actually belong. Here you can see, get an impression of the area where the NGO boats operate in, this Mediterranean Sea, in front of Lampedusa and Malta. So it's quite a long way with a shitty boat to get to a safe place. And then you can also see that's a very big area the ships have to cover. And right now, it's quite low tech what the NGOs do. They go on rusty ships, they go to sea, and then they use the ice to check for people on the water. Sometimes, or most of the times, they use binoculars. Then the next technical device they have is a radar, but the radar not always works, or is not as great as we want it to be, because they are rubber boats, or the people on the move, they use rubber boats, so there's no real reflection of the radar signal, so it's really hard to make out cases by radar. Then the next tool we have are airplanes. Some NGOs operate airplanes over the sea. They, of course, can spot people, but they use binoculars, eyes, or cameras to spot these people, and they can only operate in very good conditions. Then, of course, another tool we have is mobile phone, but the mobile phone only works for a few miles out into the ocean, and then people are more or less disconnected. Some people have satellite phones and can call, for example, alarm phone. Alarm phone is a hotline for people on the move, so you can call them and tell them, hey, we are in distress. Please forward this information to the Coast Guard or the Civil Fleet. Yeah, but of course, you have to have, for example, a satellite phone. Some countries forbid satellite phones, so it's in some situations hard to get satellite phones. Yeah, and then it's possible to use satellites to detect cases on the water too, but this is a really expensive process, and it's also not as fast as, for example, an airplane. Yeah, and nowadays we start to use drones to find people, but to this I come later. So here you can see, for example, how people on a ship try to find people. Yeah, but as you can imagine, this on a ship, moving ship, rocking ship, is really tiresome process and also prone to errors. We actually want to show the video, huh?
No, it's better.
Okay. So, yeah, what we do, we build drones for search and rescue. Here you can see our drone in operation. But how did this all start? It actually started in this wonderful community. Some people saw that NGOs and other people started to do search and rescue at sea with this quite low-tech approach. And these people out from the chaos community, they thought, okay, hey, we have skills, and there's quite a lot of free software and open hardware which we can use to build a drone that helps in this use case. And so it actually started 2017. people gave a talk here, and the project started. Yeah. So what's happening right now? So yesterday evening, we got a call from one of the ships. They have a drone near to Lampedusa on the vessel, and they did a search flight from the vessel. So the drones are actually in operation, and then there's another ship where we have two drones, which are right now in the so-called ZA zone, so the zone where we actually search for people, and we are waiting for next flight of one of our drones. Yes. Wann wollten wir das Video machen? Komm noch. Okay, so. Right now, three drones are in operation, but in the past, of course, we did missions and test missions. Here you can see a small overview. So we did the first mission with rescue ship. They operate from a small sailing vessel. I think the person who actually did the mission is also somewhere here. Then we tried to do a mission with CI, but unfortunately our system failed before we actually went to sea. And then you earlier saw the Sea-Watch 4, so we went on a short trip to the shipyard with Sea-Watch 4, where we intensively tested our system, so one of the latest prototypes. And then the last two missions we did with Mission Lifeline. They operate near the Canary Islands, and they operated the drone in 2021 for 1 week. And then now they operated two drones for 3 months. Yeah. And now I want to tell you a little bit about the drone, and we want to show you a short video about the process. So this, yeah. But I guess it's a little bit hard to see. Yeah, but the idea is that we operate at sea, therefore there's a lot of water. For example, from a small sailing vessel. Normally we give two drones to the vessel if there's enough space. Then we have a small tablet which we use for planning of the actual search pattern. So normally we know about a case or know some information about the case and want to fly somewhere and fly a search pattern there. Yeah, it's not a big drone. You have to invest right now €1,700 for one drone. It's quite wind resistant. Here you can see the hand launch of the drone. So you just throw it, the drone in the air, and then it starts to automatically fly the search pattern. We fly in 550 meters. Of course, we can also change this, but in this height, we see the most area. And then our cruise speed now is actually a little bit faster. And then we see an area, or ground resolution is 20 centimeters per pixel right now. Here you can see how a search pattern could look like. And we can cover roughly 200 square kilometers with our two cameras. And then we have a base station where we always have a connection to the drone and can also change the flight pattern in flight if there's need for that. And then the drone automatically comes back to the ship, and then the drone pilot initiates the landing Right now we do the landing by hand, so we have a remote control and land the drone next to the ship. And it's even possible in very rough conditions, for example, waves of 2 meters are not a big problem. Then the drone actually lands in the water because we don't want to endanger any people on the ship. And then we start the image download and automatic processing of the images. Here you can see the old version of our system. And one crew member goes through all the images we have.
Okay.
Yep, next one. So just to recap, we actually have a flying camera. We can go 100 kilometers. It's waterproof because we land in the water. The flying is automatically, so it's not autonomous. Then we have computer vision, but it's offline. And of course, it's all free and open source software and hardware. So if you want to build a drone, you can do this. Here's a short overview about our system. So we actually have this frame, we buy it in Asia. Then we have a waterproof box, you can see in the middle. And then we have a flight computer based on an STM32. Then we have a Raspberry Pi with 2 cameras connected. The Raspberry Pi then gets data from a flight computer, and then we can fuse this data with the image data and, for example, then tell where we took the image or at which time. Then, of course, we also have a telemetry module or a transceiver to stay in contact with the drone, but we only use this for example, position data and not for image transmission. Yeah, that's, and then in the front of our plane, there's a big battery, which weighs more or less 1 kilo. And in the back there, we have the motor. And of course, we have a few servos to control the plane. And then here you can see how we actually do the planning. So we use free software here. It's called Ku Ground Control. It's Qt app. And you can draw a pattern which the drone then actually flies through. And then we also developed a little bit of software to actually take a look at the pictures we take. And here you can see maybe a picture with one big ship, and then maybe you could, or normally we ask people to count the ships in the image. I think this is now really hard, but what you can see that it's really hard to actually see the small ship. So the big ship is the Sea-Watch 4, and then we have a small rib which is next to the Sea-Watch 4. But it's with our camera system, it's really hard by human eye to make out this ship. And therefore, we have this system to take a look at the images, and then also the image processing to give hints in the image to actually see the case. And here you can now see, for example, that we highlighted this case. You only see a few pixels of the case. And now I give over to Julian, I think.
Thanks. I want to show you a few bits about the boat detection process we developed at Searchwing. You saw already in the previous images the result of it. So we have a software which shows the image and an overlay with the rectangle around where the boat is. And the steps I want to show you are describe this process, how to generate these boxes. And there are a few things we thought, or we developed some knowledge in, and I want to share this with you. So we can roughly create or build this process, and it's built out of 5 steps. It's the first step is taking the actual image, then we download the images after the plane has landed, and then we do the actual boat detection. After this detection, we do a fourth step. It's offline tracking, which combines all the information we created in the previous step, and then in the end we visualize this. So how do we do the actual image capturing? As Philip already said, there is a Raspberry Pi board in a plane which has two cameras connected to it. It got 8 megapixels, and this results in at our altitude of 550 meters in a ground resolution of roughly 20 centimeters per pixel to 35 centimeters per pixel. And we can cover with both cameras like a sweep width of 2 kilometers. And yeah, we take one photo every 2 seconds. And we also thought a bit about the exposure control, because normally the exposure control for cameras is very optimized for big objects inside the image. But as we want to detect very small objects, they tend to get overexposed. So we really try to underexpose the images to get not overexposure of the boats, to have some more contrast in the image. So the second step after the actual image taking is then already the download of the image, which is done after the plane is landed next to the ship. We get it on board, and then we download the images. This takes about 35 minutes, and because it's a lot of data, actually, it's 22 gigabytes because of the high resolution. And we also use some kind of prioritization to get first the most important images inside the data we, or the images we created. In the third step, we do the actual detection of the boats. So finding the boats inside the image. And we realized this is very much important step to do, because we had some users actually, and they tried to check all of those images manually. And it was a very tiresome and a tiresome process, and they humans cannot keep that attention span for a very long time, especially if you're on the sea and get maybe seasick, and you cannot analyze manually this huge amount of image. So we think algorithm which assists this process is very important, and therefore we decided to take some algorithms from the neural networks family. Some say it's AI, but it's more, I think, like a pattern recognition algorithm. And there's one problem with these algorithms, that they are more or less a black box, which, it's hard to understand, and that you cannot guarantee as a programmer that it works as expected or intended. So even if there are some boats detected, we cannot guarantee that other boats, which might look similar, are then detected afterwards again. And also those algorithms need a lot of data, which we don't have, because we cannot fly that much at the sea, and also we cannot create images of every possible object which could be out there. So we don't generally trust these algorithms, and we always tell the people who use our software that they still need to check every image and just use this algorithm to rank or prioritize the images to get the most important ones first, then check those according to the prioritization. And this makes it then possible to actually get through the images in a meaningful time. Otherwise, it's nearly impossible. And just a detail maybe, the object detection algorithm we use is called FastRCNN. It's a quite old one, but it works the best for us in our use case, because we have a lot of small objects, and other more modern ones don't work that well on small objects. Then the next step is the offline tracking. This step combines all the information from the previous ones. So it takes all the detections and combines them in a meaningful way. And you can see in this example here, we have here a plane at 5 time steps. And you have a boat on the sea, on the ground there. And in the first time step, the boat is not detected, otherwise there would be a box around it, and there are also no other waves which might have been false positively detected. So in the next time step we fly, there is a wave on the left side and the boat on the right side. We detect the wave, and for us as humans, we can see this is a false positive. And we create a track out of this, which says, okay, we use this information from the image, calculate the real position, and we remember this position for the next time step then, and then check if the boat or wave in this case appears again, and then we can see if it's going, because if it's going in the next time step, then we know, or two time steps, then we know, okay, it might not be a real boat, because a real boat differentiates from a wave that it stays there, but the wave disappears. So let's see what happens. So at time step three, there now we detect the actual boat and the wave again as a true positive in this case. Then we have at time step four, the boat again, it gets detected, and at time step five, we only detect the boat as true positive. It gets marked with a green cross, and this says, okay, this is a real boat because it was detected multiple times, in contrast to the wave which disappeared at some point and is therefore a false positive. Okay. Now, the last step is the visualization. So we now combine all the information and visualize this. And you can see here in the center, that's the image. There you have a boat, and it got like a rectangular box and a circle around it. This is the detection and the tracking information. On the right-hand side, you see two lists. One list for each of the cameras inside the drone, and below there's a small map which shows where the drone is going to. Okay, just a few more bits about the future work we're going to take with the drone. So we want to put better cameras inside of it, because right now it's only 8 megapixels and a quite old sensor. And with a new modern camera, we might be able to detect more boats or smaller ones and so on. We also experimented with thermal sensors, which would enable us to also fly by night, because right now with the regular RGB cameras, we only can fly on the daytime, and this limits us in a lot of use cases. So we tested those small thermal sensors. They are like 200 to 300 euros. They fit into our small plane, which you can see here. But we haven't not integrated them in our real usage planes yet, but it works quite okay. The image on the right hand side, yeah, it's very hard, I think, to see, but on the top it shows the RGB image, and on the lower side it shows the actual thermal image, and there you maybe in the stream can see that the actual boats and even the small buoys, which are also there, they are inside the, you can see them in the thermal image, and therefore it would work to use these cheap sensors also in our drone. Okay. Online boat detection is also one important thing we want to build in. So right now we only work or do this detection of the boats after we landed, but it would be also nice to directly get information about where the birds are, the boats are while we are flying. And there's ongoing work on this, and we hope we can implement deploy this soon. And we can analyze one image with the half of the resolution within 500 milliseconds, and it gives us already a rough information where a boat could be, and they could alert the crew. Okay. Long-range image download is also an important thing. As I said already, we only can download the images after we landed, but it would be very important to also give the NGOs the ability to get the images while they are flying. And we worked on this a lot in the recent years. There are multiple possibilities, but we ended up with using just regular Wi-Fi, because this enables us to download regular images through it using TCP, in contrast to like streaming video or something. And we used their off-the-shelf hardware, and we tested it with quite okay-ish results for our use case for 30 kilometers. So maybe, or we hope that we can also put this into usage soon.
Sorry.
Okay. Another group in our or another part of our group also in parallel works on a completely different concept. Building, instead of using like the foam-based drones, building a completely different one using fiber material. And it's currently, just a few days ago, they flew some test missions on the Baltic Sea. Is it Baltic Sea? I guess so. And it was successful, so maybe we can soon also get a more robust version than the foam-based version, because it tends to, if there are some wakes, it might get some damage, but the fiber material is way more stable in this regard. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. No. Okay. Here. Yeah. Here you can see how damage could look like. So it's really not nice to hit the ground. But if you want to experience this firsthand, you can of course participate in our project. We are always looking for new members to support our project. But you can also just spread news about our project, tell people about our project. We also take donations, so we have an association, a German association, non-profit association. So if you have some money somewhere you don't need, please send it our ways. And of course we have a lot of technical, but not only technical, problems. The whole aspect of bringing the system into operation is a big process, and we also need experts, for example, in operating systems in maritime environments. So if you have any experience, please join our project. Yeah, so we over there we have a booth, so if you have any questions you can come there, and we can talk in detail about challenges you can tackle with us. And now there is some more time for questions. Yeah, do you have any questions?
I was waiting for your end slide, but it didn't come. Thank you for the talk. I see one question at the front already. There is my colleague coming. Oh, sorry, I was supposed to give you the microphone. Here.
You already spoke about on-device detection. What is your biggest constraint here? Is it the power budget? Is it the weight? Is it the runtime? Why is that something that you hadn't done before? Is it just time?
Yeah, it's time also, but also as we run on a Raspberry Pi, it's not very, or it's for image processing, it's not the best platform, but I think for all the other things, it's the best platform, like regarding maintenance and stuff. So it's not like super powerful for this, so we needed to find some way to find a usable option for online boat detection.
Two small questions. How do you seal the 3D printed case? With epoxy or?
Yeah, we tried this too, but didn't work out because epoxy doesn't stick to some of the printing filaments. So right now we use SLA printing. We actually buy the waterproof box we built in Asia. So there's service to print these boxes, and yeah, this works quite well.
And isn't Wi-Fi using too much battery?
No, I think it's maybe 5 watts or so we actually use with our Wi-Fi module. Yeah, but of course it's a high power Wi-Fi module, and we operate at sea a little bit like pirates. So we have flying pirate radio somehow. Yeah, of course, it consumes a little bit of energy.
Question over there.
So this is maybe slightly different, but have you thought about doing long endurance systems? So I actually thought about some of this at one point in my life, and I thought about building a long endurance flight that stays up for 24 hours and basically scans nonstop. It's not impossible, I think, to do. When it's bad weather, you might have some trouble, but if you fly higher, you build a bigger train, I think it's not impossible.
Yeah, it's not impossible, but of course we have to somehow manage our time. So we focused on this special use case, start from the NGO vessel and then coming back to the NGO vessel and flying I mean, we have this airplane and this frame because we also want to operate this drone on different vessels. But of course, it's possible to build bigger systems. And in the beginning, we saw quite big systems from Frontex and so on. And of course, we can try to build bigger systems. One big drawback is maybe that if we build big systems, then we have to operate them from land. And then, of course, there's new attack vector, the whole regulation. And for example, the airplanes, they face these problems. But maybe we are in a quite good situation with the EU drone regulation. So it's something we are thinking about. And if you are interested in that, we can talk about this. Yeah.
And yeah, are there the project specification and the software published somewhere?
Yeah, we have a Wikipedia, a Wiki Online, Wiki.js, and there's almost everything documented. I mean, yeah, it's some parts are missing, which we don't have time to, but yeah, normally you should be able to build a drone using this Wikipedia, Wiki, not Wikipedia.
Hi, you mentioned rescue missions. Do you see your project being used Monday for patrolling seas, especially when it comes to law enforcement and protecting the environment against, say, illegal fishing?
Yeah, I mean, technically this is totally possible with this, but we totally focus on the, rescuing humans right now and cooperate with the NGOs and, yeah.
Thank you. Two questions. First of all, have you tried an NVIDIA Jetson instead of a Raspberry Pi?
Yeah, we thought of this, but it's too big actually for our plane right now. I have some lying around at my home, but it just doesn't fit. But it would be a nice platform for us, actually. It could be, it's also possible to make it smaller by just creating a custom baseboard. So maybe at some point we're going to use it, especially if we have bigger planes. Mm.
And second question, have you thought about looking for Wi-Fi pings or like phone pings from people on boats? Because that can travel quite far in the ocean.
Wi-Fi pings not, but we thought of using actual GSM stuff for detecting like GSM signals. There was also a test of us on the Baltic Sea, but we weren't that successful, and we haven't gone into this again. But there are companies building those systems for avalanche detect, or people under avalanches to detect them. So it should be possible, but as far as I know, there's nothing for open source, like how's it called, the open source GSM stack. The one open source GSM stack everyone should know about, Osmocom. So I haven't seen anything yet there.
Yeah, but what we actually did, we test the base station at sea. So actually, we are interested in not only drones. So if you have any other ideas you want to explore with our association, of course, you are welcome. So for example, we tested a base station at sea, but unfortunately, we don't have so much time to test all the ideas we come up with.
So I wonder, how well does your drone do with bad weather? I mean, the worse the weather, the more urgent the rescue is, but the less stuff works, typically.
Yeah, so actually the waves are not a big problem. So as long as the waves are not crashing, we can more or less land safely. I think in regards to waves, it's more a question, do you want to deploy your crew into the water? And then we can fly at 25 knots, maybe even 30 knots of wind. So the whole system is very able to withstand bad conditions. Of course, it's waterproof, so we can, in theory, fly when it's rainy.
Thank you. How many uninteresting boats do you have in these areas?
I mean, of course, there are. So you mean boats which are not cases, I assume. Yeah, of course, there are, for example, fishermen. There's also just merchant vessels going through. Yeah, I mean, there are some. I can't give you any numbers. Can you give any numbers? No, I don't think so. But what our software can tell you, for example, also can tell you the size of an object in the image. So you can, for example, assume that a ship which is, I don't know, 50 or 100 meters long is, of course, not the case. But with smaller ships, of course, there's the possibility that we have a case, or fisherman is maybe a case, and so on.
Thanks.
We still have a bit of time. There is another question over there.
Thank you. How many people have been rescued?
Yeah, so it's actually this year the first time we really use it in this mission context, really. Beginning of this year, in March, we operated the drone near the Canary Islands. But there are not so many cases, so the drone actually only took pictures of the ocean. So we can only say, okay, we didn't find somebody, but we covered a lot of area. And then right now, the drones are, in the next days, they maybe will find the actual case. But until now, the drone didn't find any case. But of course, it's good to also find no case.
Okay. Any more questions? There is one at the front.
That might be a hypothetical question, but how hard is it for you to actually find the boat at sea, right? So it takes half an hour for the drone to get back, half an hour to download the pictures, an hour to go through them all. And then what you know is where the boat was 2 hours ago, basically. And then with currents and them moving and you moving, like, is it realistic to find them, or how long does it take you to find them?
We don't know. So the assumption that takes roughly 2 hours, the whole process is right. Of course, we don't know because we never found somebody.
But you might have tried. Or
yeah, I mean, this 2 hours is the time it takes. And then, of course, you can make assumptions. For example, in the Mediterranean, all people go to the north, so at least if they have an engine on. And then you know maybe the speed. We can also do assumptions by the image data about the speed of the ship. So we can tell, okay, they maybe go north by, I don't know, 3 knots. And then it's maybe not so unrealistic to actually then find the case.
I think we still have 2 more minutes. I'm checking with the signal. With the video people, if there are any more questions. I see one here at the very front. Maybe I'm giving you just my mic.
Hello, have you thought about if you do successfully find a boat and it's a couple of hours later, maybe having a shorter range one that can maybe drop a star or a radar reflector to the boat in question so that it makes it more easier for rescuers to find?
Yeah, I guess we thought about this too at some point. but right now there's no plan to drop anything. I think it's maybe not. From my point of view, it would not be as necessary as might seem. But of course it's possible. I mean, if we have a little bit bigger drone, we could think about something like that.
Yeah, I also think it's... Instead of trying to build a system which throws something, I think it's more important to just build a live transmission system that you get this information instantly and then you can directly go there.
Yeah, but actually there are drones, big drones, which can drop, rescue islands or rescue systems, floating devices. So this would be possible and would be maybe a demand to our politicians that they start using this and don't operate only cameras.
Okay, I would say that was it. If you have any more questions, go visit the SearchWim booth. Thank you both very much for this presentation. It was very insightful. See you around. Come to our next talk.
Thank you very much.